This is Radio Superior 1940, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lake station, KUWS. It's Monday, June 3rd, 1940. This is Jack McKenna wishing you all a fine summer evening. Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock news. Stay tuned for the best music from our hit parade, sports with Rapid Ray Paulson, and a visit from the new president of the Women's Club and her efforts to bring us suitable movies. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Bertheum's Grocery, where Miss Mabel Anderson of the Battle Creek Sanitarium will give a demonstration on health foods like yeast tablets, fig bran, and Zoe to prevent constipation. Yuck. Lou?
I assume there won't be any free samples, so you won't have to eat any of the stuff, so don't worry. Good evening, everyone. After months of losses, defeats, and setbacks since the German invasion of Poland last September, the Allies have good tidings. We begin our World Shortwave Radio Roundup about the incredible evacuation of Dunkirk.
This is the British Isles, Webb Miller reporting in London. The British troop rescue has apparently ended more than 140,000 troops of the British Expeditionary Force saved from the Nazi trap in Flanders and Dunkirk. In addition, tens of thousands of French soldiers were also evacuated. Today, the flow of troops has slowed to a trickle, with the bulk of them crossing the English Channel to safety. Heroes here are the Royal Air Force, giving punishing blows, spinning down Nazi forces trying to reach Dunkirk and the Allied Naval Task Force, liberating the troops while under fire from German aircraft. Finally, till now, kept secret for security reasons, regular Brits with boats of any kind, any vessel, bravely crossing the Channel. The nation was cheered by the announcement from War Secretary Anthony Eden that more than four-fifths of the Allied troops trapped on the beaches are now in England. Dogfights over the English Channel continued in full view of Brits along the coast. 169 German planes shot down this weekend, while British losses are at 37. Meanwhile, the Allied Mediterranean fleet is being strengthened to meet a new threat. Sources here believe Italy will enter the war within a week. In London, this is Webb Miller calling Berlin. Come in, Max Jordan.
This is the Third Reich, Max Jordan, reporting from Berlin. The Nazi High Command is claiming the capture of 330,000 Allied troops trapped in the Battle of Flanders. They acknowledge being slowed in its attack and that some Allied troops have been evacuated. Ditches crisscrossing the path to the English Channel and a tough rear guard action are keeping German troops from reaching Dunkirk. Nevertheless, the watchwords here are no rest for the enemy. Air Force and artillery continue to bombard the Allied position as it prepares to take Dunkirk and seal off Britain from France. German commanders report a patrol boat, freighter, and two destroyers have been sunk, and 10 merchant ships have been damaged during the past week's evacuation. Nazi attacks also are concentrated on the Mediterranean port of Marseille. It is believed if that port is cut off, France will not be able to resupply itself from North Africa. And black troops are trying to arrive from Morocco. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan calling Paris. Come in, Harrison Salisbury.
This is Paris, France calling. Harrison Salisbury speaking. Nazi planes rain more than 1,000 bombs on Paris and its suburbs. 20 civilians have been killed, half of them school children. Another 160 are reported injured. People here are nervously turning their attention skyward as this new kind of warfare brings terror from the sky. About 155 planes use new siren bombs, which whistled as they fell from the planes. Six waves of bombing runs over this ancient city dropped scores of bombs, one narrowly missing United States Ambassador William Bullitt. The envoy was saved only because the bomb failed to detonate. It landed just 10 feet from him while he was at a reception given for him by the French Air Minister. This raid on Paris is the first against any belligerent capital. Experts here believe this will not be the last capital to be hit. They hope it will be Berlin and not London. Calling America. Calling DeWitt McKenzie in Washington.
This is Washington. DeWitt McKenzie, your correspondent. This comparative lull in the war is nothing more than a respite, and a very brief one at that. The bloody business of the Nazi war machine will continue to churn. Hitler is bound to strike again quickly to take advantage of his victory at Flanders and not allow the Allies to recuperate. The Nazis have suffered great losses to men and materials, but Herr Hitler's military machine won't crack overnight. There can be little doubt, though, that a new spirit of determination is surging through England and France. That's the result of the heroism and that unbelievable rearguard fight which allowed the Allies to rescue their seemingly doomed armies from the Nazi trap in Flanders. You can see it in dispatches from London and Paris. Civilians and soldiers now believe they can cope with this strange new Nazi blitzkrieg warfare which has been holding Europe in utter fear. I dare say history will record this Allied rearguard fight at Dunkirk was the greatest victory won by either side of the war. It is a victory of morale. In Washington, this is DeWitt McKenzie speaking.
British Prime Minister Winston Churchill told the House of Commons today that wars cannot be won by retreating, but he says the evacuation at Dunkirk prevented a disaster. This will allow the British to better protect their island nation.
We shall prove ourselves once more able to defend our island home, to ride out the storm of war, and to outlive the menace of tyranny, if necessary, for years, if necessary, alone. At any rate, that is what we are going to try to do. That is the resolve of His Majesty's government, every man of them. That is the will of Parliament and the nation, the British Empire and the French Republic, linked together in their cause and in their need, will defend to the death their native soil, aiding each other like good comrades to the utmost of their strength. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. And if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it were subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle until, in God's good time, the new world with all its power and might steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of the old.
British Prime Minister Winston Churchill. The United States passenger liner Franklin Roosevelt is headed home. The long journey began 2 weeks ago when it left New York for Galway, Ireland. The ship picked up American refugees from war zones in England and France. The liner, emblazoned with American flags and well-lit in hopes of preventing a submarine attack, is stuffed to capacity with 720 passengers. The last one allowed on board was 10-year-old Peter Duffy. Peter is traveling alone since his mother died recently in England. He'll be reunited with his father in Gary, Indiana. The Supreme Court took the side of a Pennsylvania school board today. It upheld the right of the school board to expel two children for refusing to salute the American flag for religious reasons. The Minersville children are members of the Jehovah Witnesses sect. They believe that saluting the flag breaks the second commandment of not worshiping images. Now, Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Indeed I have, Lou, and thank you very much. This week at Berthium's, Miss Mabel L. Anderson will be demonstrating Battle Creek Sanitarium Health Foods. She's in our store this week to help our customers use foods to aid in combating disease. Demonstration specials include wheat germ, rapidly becoming a necessity in every home, a rich source of vitamin B and G. 20 cents for an 8-ounce can, 3 for 50 cents, and Zoe and Fig Brand Special. Buy a 15-cent package of Zoe and get a 15-cent package of Fig Brand free, well, for merely 1 cent. 16 cents for all that. Ferrin, a palatable source of iron for blood building. Efficient. A pint, $1. That's Berthium's in Superior, your health store. Lou, why does health food sound so bad? I mean, what's Zoe and lactodextrin and wheat's germ? Why would I want to eat germs?
It's not wheat's germ, it's wheat germ. It's got a bunch of vitamins. But I understand that since herring and liver sausage isn't on the list, this is not very appealing to your palate.
Or my taste buds.
Superior has received notice that it won't be the site of the Twin Cities Head of the Lakes Air Link for Northwest Airlines. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
The bad news isn't a surprise to Mayor Bryn Ostby. He says the Civil Aeronautics Board looked at two key factors in deciding to give Duluth's Williamson-Johnson Airport the air terminal. First, the location. The board says the Williamson-Johnson Airport is 7 miles north of downtown Duluth. Superior's airport is no closer to Duluth, which has a population 3 times the size of Superior. Second, the airport. Duluth has 3 runways, each 2,600 feet long, located on high ground. That will keep it open more than the Superior airport. Also, there are no obstructions, while the WEBC radio tower interferes with Superior's airport. The CAA says the Duluth airport is far better, Lou. Mayor Ostby and others offered every kind of assistance to Northwest Airlines, but until today, hadn't heard from them since they visited here in March.
Thanks, Mike. The Works Progress Administration payroll will be slashed in Douglas County. Welfare Director Ellen Almquist says that 300 of the 1,500 men working on the WPA will be discharged. The state office ordered the cuts to counties around Wisconsin. This brings the Douglas County total of men let go from the WPA to 850 this year. Mr. Almquist says that men living in households that have some other income will be laid off first. Other workers are totally dependent on WPA jobs. Governor Julius Heil will attend the National Governors Conference in Duluth today and tomorrow. Tonight he'll be given a police escort to Superior's Androy Hotel, where he'll have dinner. Then he'll give a speech at the Superior Teachers College. Minnesota Governor Harold Stassen welcomed the delegates. He echoed a concern of other governors that President Roosevelt will be given the power to activate National Guard units from each state. The way it is now, Congress and governors must consent to activating the Guard. And finally, Jack, there was a dramatic rescue of 2 young men from the icy waters of Shawamigan Bay Sunday. 21-year-old Vern Callahair and 23-year-old George Fleck overturned a canoe during a squall around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Clinging to the overturned boat for half an hour, George Weltby and his 2 sons jumped in their 18-foot boat, motored out in heavy rain to rescue the pair.
And they're okay?
Wet, cold, but okay.
Maybe they'll need some of that Zoe or germy wheat. Thanks, Lou Martin, the healthiest newsman in the room. It looks like rain tonight and tomorrow, folks. The forecast for this Monday, June the 3rd, 1940, is for showers. Tonight's low will be around 50, with a high tomorrow at 70, believe it or not. Let's brighten any dampened spirits with this new summertime number from our 1940 hit parade. This is Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra with The Breeze and I on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS.
that you no longer care. The breeze and I are whispering goodbye to dreams we used to share. Ours was a love song that seemed constant as the moon, ending in a strange, mournful tune. Without me, and we wonder why the breeze and I. No, you have departed without me, and we wonder why the breeze and I.
New from Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra, that's The Breeze and I on station KUWS. Now gather round that old wireless, folks, for an important announcement from the City of Superior, the Association of Commerce, and Superior Water, Light, and Power Company. The 1940 census affects the welfare of every person in Superior. It is vital for labor, business, and every commercial interest in the community. Superior Census must be complete and accurate, and you can help. First, if the census is not called on you, ask your operator to dial 743 and notify the Census Committee. Second, if a neighbor or relative has been missed, call 743 immediately. Our city is large in area, as large as Milwaukee, so the census takers need your help. If they run out of fingers and toes to count on, you may have to loan them yours.
Doesn't say that.
I'm just trying to be helpful, Lou. On with the music, good listeners. Here's Kay Kaiser and a favorite of mine, the Woodpecker Song. On the Martin and McKenna Show.
Oh, that's the Woody Woodpecker Song. Yeah, he's a-pecking it all day long. He pecks a few holes in a tree to see if a redwood's really red. And it's nothing to him on the tiniest whim to peck a few holes in your head. Oh, that's the Woody Woodpeckers, too. Makes the other woodpeckers hoon, though it doesn't make sense to the doll and the dance and the lady woodpeckers long for. That's the Woody Woodpecker song.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be settling down someday. He'll be hearing the preacher say, for the rest of your life, you'll be Woofy and wife, and the choir will sing along with the Woody Woodpecker song.
The Woody Woodpecker song, Hot Diggity Dog, from our 1940 hit parade by Kay Kaiser and his orchestra on station KUWS.
It's my distinct pleasure to introduce Superior Women's Club President, Mrs. J.G. King. Good evening, madam. Glad you could take time to be with us tonight.
It's go, go, go these days, Lewis.
You're just back from the National Women's Club meeting in Milwaukee. I understand that you've been given quite an honor.
What it is quite a responsibility. I've been reappointed as chairman of the Motion Picture Committee.
So you get to see a lot of movies, eh?
Thank you, Jack. So you probably have to view several movies, eh?
That's much, much better.
Our local club rates films to be shown in Superior. The ratings are on file at the Carnegie Library. We encourage people to see proper movies, good, wholesome adventures. Why, right now, there's a wonderful film showing at the Beacon Theater. It's called Abe Lincoln in Illinois. Raymond Massey plays such a good young Mr. Lincoln. It's educational, and yet it's exciting.
How about Lillian Russell? That new movie with Alice Faye and Don Ameche. I hear it's kind of steamy.
Oh, far be it for me to tell you or any other adult what to watch, but our children love to go to the movies, and if they happen to stumble upon a steamy movie, why, think of the ideas they'd get. Movies should be rated, and people should send a message to theater operators by attending the wholesome movies. I'm afraid after Rhett Butler said, you know what, to Scarlett.
You mean, frankly, my dear, I just don't give a damn.
Yes, that. Of course, Clark Gable is quite the ruffian. He's a bad boy, yet a man's man.
Bad boy?
Mrs. King, this is important.
Yes, Mr. McKenna, I'll try to help.
I must find out which is best with a movie. Popcorn, sugar babies, or licorice?
You're quite the kidder.
Yes, he's our little kidder, all right. Never quite grew up.
A regular bad boy.
Just two more issues, if I may. The National Women's Conference also voted to support legislation to help migratory workers and their children. And we want to hold a conference on children in a democracy, encouraging children to learn intelligent, courageous public speaking.
All important causes, Mrs. J.G. King, president of the Superior Women's Club.
Back to the good ones, sorry. Back to the good music of this rainy Monday night. Let's enjoy a number I'm sure Mrs. King would approve of.
Well, I'm not persnickety, you know.
I know. Here's Paul Whiteman with his orchestra, an oldie but a goodie from 1930. This is Paper Moon on the Martin and McKenna Kidder Show.
A wonderful selection. Let's all sing along.
Thank you.
Fine, clean sing-along music of Paul Whiteman and his orchestra with Paper Moon. Hiya, Ray.
Hiya, Jake. You know, I like that song. I'll be humming it for the rest of the night.
Please. I hum loud. The neighbor upstairs hates that.
Well, I heard you're quite the bad boy. I'll just get on with the sports.
Of course, of course. Now, good listeners, here's Rapid Ray Paulson with all the sporting news.
Hello, sporting fans. The Superior Blues lost 2 of 3 against the Wausau Lumberjacks in Northern League action this weekend. Bob Terhune hit a homer last night, but that wasn't enough to overcome the Jacks jacking the horsehide around, topping our hometown heroes 7-2. Fireballer young Bob Feller won his 8th decision today and 6th in a row for the Cleveland Indians. Connie Mack's Philadelphia Athletics were the strikeout Kings' latest victim. Do you know that there are 5 New York Yankees wives who never miss a game? They include Dorothy Gordon, Frances Chandler, Josephine Dahlgren, Jessie Hadley, and folks around here know this name, Dorothy DiMaggio. Whenever Jolt and Joel jolts one over the fence, all the wives shake Dorothy's hand with a lot of vigor. Dorothy, of course, is a hometown Duluthian. The former Dorothy Arnold, who moved to New York, became an actress, and married America's most eligible bachelor.
Except for Lou Martin.
The Ridgeview Golf Course kicks off the Intercity Golf Competition at Nemadji Golf Course in Superior. The Superior Club will also face Lakeview Golf Club, Zenith City, and Ashland Clubs this summer. Hey, don't miss tomorrow night's pro boxing match at the Duluth Shrine Auditorium. Pugilism fans will see Duluthian Floyd Hagan go the rounds with Billy Smith of Minneapolis in the main event. There'll be 6 other bouts, tickets on sale for $55.75. Ringside seats are $1.10. And last but not least, folks, a Superior boy finished 3rd in the state marbles competition. Freckle-faced Leroy Shepke of Wausau won the event in the under-15 event, and 13-year-old Tommy Podgorik did some fancy marble shooting of his own to take 3rd. Way to go, Tommy P. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
I still have some Puries and Steelies in a box at home.
More of that bad boy thing, eh, Jake?
Speaking of which, here's a classic number from our wax collection. This is Bix Beiderbecke with Paul Whiteman and his orchestra from 1927. This is Because My Baby Don't Mean Maybe Now. You'll hear the singing and scatting of a very young Bing Crosby, followed by Austin Young and Jack Fulton on the Martin and McKenna Show.
yes sir, yes sirree. Because my baby don't need maybe now, mother. I just got a little letter just yesterday, and now I feel a little better, and so I say, life is short and mighty sweet, but I know mine is quite complete, because my baby don't need maybe now, mother.
The late, great Vic Spiderbeck blowing the cornet in Paul Whiteman's Because My Baby Don't Mean Maybe Now on station KUWS. Now Lou Martin with late-breaking news.
These bulletins just in. London reports sentries are given shoot-to-kill orders as Brits brace for the expected invasion of Nazi Germany. They expect Italy to enter the war soon. From Berlin, the official German news agency, DNB, calls casualty estimates of 1 million German men a grotesque exaggeration. The British claim 250,000 Germans were killed or wounded in the Flanders battle alone. The Germans are closing in on Dunkirk, but admit meeting stiff resistance. Nazi tanks, troops, and artillery are gathered along the Argonne front in northern France for what is expected to be an all-out assault toward Paris in the next 2 or 3 days. That's the latest, Jack.
I guess there are enough bad boys in the world, so what say we be good guys and take in Abe Lincoln in Illinois at the Beacon?
Well, that's fine as long as you don't slurp your bowl up.
That's a wrap, friends. Stay tuned for Little Abner, followed by Dr. IQ, and then live from Duluth, the Arrowhead Playhouse. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing.
That and is. We don't get kicked out of the theater because you're slurping your pop.
No, oh boy. For Lou Martin, this is Bad Boy McKenna. Good night, nice people.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1940, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, Kathy Loxo, John Munsell. All events reported on Radio Superior 1940 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this same time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.